BuyWorld.com, the podcast for all those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. I'm Paul.
I'm Marcus.
And we're here again. It's just two of us this week.
Yeah.
It's just the two of us.
Oh, stop it now. Stop it.
What? What'd I do? How come you get to sing and I don't?
I don't sing.
I've heard you sing.
I don't sing on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
And you don't get to sing things like just the two of us to me.
Why? Are you not sure about your sexuality?
I'm comfortable with my inner whatever.
You're inner whatever?
You're perfectly, inner whatever. Perfectly comfortable, thank you, Paul.
Perfectly.
Still repulses me.
What, just me personally? I personally repulse you. Finally, after all these years, you've told me the truth. So here we are, we're back again. Just two of us this week. We've got no Lee, we've got no nobody. We're all alone.
Well, we're not. We could just go and drag somebody up from downstairs, but we hadn't thought of that.
No, I asked Dan and he said, no, I don't want to.
Why?
Apparently he's busy or something.
Oh.
I know. It's such a poor excuse, having to work for a living. But I do want to get him on the show because he's got some great little tools he was showing me earlier that I nearly included in this week's show. And I thought, no, I'll wait for him to appear and allow him to take the glory for his discoveries.
Yes, you should do, because I don't know anything about anything you're talking about on this series. So you should have somebody who kind of does.
Yeah, true. We've started to move on now to user suggestions, which is really good. Because I finally got around to putting up the season's homepage at boagworld.com/season/4, or if you're lazy, you can just put boagworld.com/apps will also work. And essentially, I've got people to start suggesting tools, and it's gone manic. Got so many comments, really great contributions, and lots of votes, and yeah, it's all good. So if you have a suggestion of what we should be including on the show, if you have an app that you want to see featured, go along to boagworld.com/apps and submit it as a comment, and then persuade all your friends to vote it up so that it gets seen and included on the show. Looking at it now.
Why would you be lazy if you just wanted to type in /apps? Surely that would make you efficient.
Picky. because I say so.
Right, yeah.
Yes. So, I forgot what I was saying. Yes, so basically go along and make suggestions.
Yes.
There's already been a little bit of competitiveness going on. I've already seen people trying to round up votes for their various apps.
Are there people on here that work for these various apps?
Oh, yes. yeah. One of the ones we're featuring was posted by somebody that actually produced the app. But they managed to get enough people to vote it up that I feel obliged to include it on the show. So it's probably just everybody from within the company that have all voted it up. But it does look quite good, so I am including it.
Cool.
So, yes, there's gaming of the system going on already, which I'm pleased
it's
to see.
It's going on forever. I'm bored now.
You read all of it. But it's worth scanning down because obviously we're not going to include all of the apps that are being suggested. So it's a good chance to find other cool apps that may help you in your career in the web community.
Superb.
Right. So shall we push on to the first app?
I'm trying to think of something else to talk about.
Like we're a bit lacking this week.
Yeah.
In waffle and in, you know, and
I'm going away to Cornwall soon. That's always quite a nice thing. Everyone likes Cornwall.
Yes, but everybody likes Cornwall, but not everybody likes the fact that you're going away to it and they're not.
They might be. Remind them of how nice it is.
People outside of the UK won't like Cornwall because they won't know what it's like.
But they'll kind of have they'll think of smugglers and Poldark and things like that.
Poldark.
See, you don't even know what that is.
What's
I'm
Poldark?
Showing my age here.
So is it some
70s TV program, which was set in the ships and smugglers?
I suspect
and stuff.
It's on Netflix.
Swords.
So swords. Set in swords.
I didn't actually like it at all, but it was kind of like
it was set in Cornwall. Was
yeah.
It? So all I know is everybody, just if you don't come from Cornwall or know about Cornwall, just so you know that everybody in Cornwall speaks like
Paul.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean. Which is bizarre because none of them are from Cornwall. But there you go.
Yeah.
I don't quite know how that works.
Yes, true.
But there you go. So that's nothing to do with anything and not to do with web design. There's lots of things I'm getting really excited about at the moment in web design. But that, so I'm in my in subject at the moment, as you know from my lecture.
I do, yes.
Is subject of web governance, and I'm tweeting and writing a lot on that. WOM. No, WOM. That's web. What was WOM? I can't remember what WOM stood for now.
Web Organization Management or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So basically, the idea that I'm fed up with the fact that web teams within organizations don't seem to have any power to actually run their own websites. So I'm now making it a crusade to sort them out. And it's really funny, I posted on this subject and everybody's going, yeah, I really agree, yeah, it's really true.
Not going to do anything about it.
And then everybody went, yeah, but it's not that easy. Yeah. Which is true, it's not that easy. But you shouldn't give up, people. We shall overcome. So that's something that if you want to find out more about, if you go to biagworld.com, you'll find various posts on that by me ranting uncontrollably. I seem to be in full rant stream at the moment.
That's cool.
I go through phases of doing this.
As long as there's some kind of substance behind it.
Well, substance.
Well, actually, yeah. Who am I kidding?
You are confusing me. Right. Okay. Can we now move on? Is that enough of introduction for you? I feel like we're padding the show.
Timing the waffle. Yeah, just about.
We're padding. We move on now to our first app.
Pad.
I've decided this is a reoccurring theme, you know.
What?
That over the entire time we've been doing the podcast, I've been wanting to make them shorter and shorter, and you've wanted to pad them.
That's not strictly true.
You think people listen for your witty interjections. That's what you think.
Yes, I'm right.
It's not true, you know. I actually get people, in fact, I can remember one
annoyingly that said, you.
The one that said, and I quote, stop Marcus interrupting you with waffle and let you get to the point.
Yeah, but that was probably somebody who wasn't very intelligent.
So intelligent people like your inane waffle. Fair enough, if that's what gets you through the day.
That was a joke.
So this first, are you calling our listeners thick?
Yeah, I said it was a joke. I just thought, better qualify that in case they really are thick.
Shocking news here first. Marcus thinks you're all thick. Right, so the first app is actually one that you should know about, Marcus, and you should care about, even though it's actually, I'm putting it as a designer app. I think it's something that probably a lot of website owners might find useful as well. It's called TinyPNG.
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 I've never heard of it.
It's a free service, although they do like you to donate. It's tinypng.org, and basically, it's just, right, there is a fundamental stupid thing broken with Photoshop, right?
Yeah.
Adobe fix this. Photoshop is crap at saving out web files.
Right.
You'd think they'd have sorted it by now. The web has been around 15 plus years, or no. Why did I say 15 years? Been around a lot longer than that.
Nearly 20.
Years. 21,
yes,
isn't
it? Yeah. So anyway.
I don't know why I'm finding that so difficult. So admittedly, the PNG format hasn't been around that long, but it's still long enough, Adobe. Sort your act out. When it saves out a PNG, it's humongous. It makes really large PNG files, and it's disgraceful.
I wonder if it's the same with Pixelmator, because I use Pixelmator because I'm not a proper designer.
Right.
And I wonder if it does.
Well, what you ought to do
is do a test.
Let's do a test right now, live on air, because I've got a couple of tools here.
I haven't got Pixelmator on this machine.
Well, so have I got Pixelmator? Let me have a look. Yes, I do. Here we go.
You can do it then.
All right, I'm doing a test. I'm trying to open Photoshop and Pixelmator at the same time. That's not a good thing, is it? So, shut up. No, see, that's just making me tense. Right, I need to find an image. This could take a while. This is enough stalling for you, surely.
Yes, this is.
This is time wasting, making the pro. Right, I'm going to open a PSD in Pixelmator, and then I'm going to open the same PSD in Photoshop. Right, export as a PNG file. Next. Okay. Boag wall torn paper, save to desktop. Okay, so that's done it in Pixelmator. Close Pixelmator. Open the same file in Photoshop. Archive torn paper. Yeah, don't feel like you have to fill in or anything while I'm doing this. You just sit completely silent and put all the pressure on me.
I was having a little daydream, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
This
guess
is
where I was?
Cornwall, by
yeah,
any chance?
Yeah, I was. I was in Cornwall.
Torn paper. With
a dash. I thought you'd be a bit quicker than this, basically.
Well, I'm trying to do two
Come
applications
on.
At once. What do you want from me? Here we go. Right. No, I don't want to install that now. Right. So we've got one that is exported from Photoshop, which by default is... Stupid window is 16K.
Okay.
And then another one from Pixelmator is 25K. So Pixelmator is even worse than Photoshop.
Boom.
Right. So next what I'm going to try doing is dragging those two files. Let's just take the bigger one, actually. Hang on. Instead of doing both. 25K. We're going to drag it now into... It's reduced it by 55%.
Ooh.
Down to 11K. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I might use it then.
So, I've forgotten what it's called. TinyPNG.org, which I think is really, 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 really good. Let me just try one more thing. Because remember we talked about CodeKit?
We did, yes.
And about how CodeKit does a similar thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if it does as well. See, no. CodeKit is nowhere near as good. It managed to compress that image by 21% compared to 55%. So it's even better than CodeKit. There you go.
That's actually quite useful.
Empirical evidence,
people.
We've
come up with something that's quite useful. Well, we didn't come up with it, obviously.
Yes, it's us. But we take credit for all the apps. So empirical evidence that tinypng.org works. And it's really easy to use as well. What's really cool is you just literally drag the file into it.
In the
little draggy thing where it says drop your PNG file here. I thought that this was a desktop app because I've used similar desktop apps that do the same. But the fact it's web-based... Mm. I mean, that's just fan-dabby-dozy.
Right, clever.
So yeah, that's TinyPNG, our recommendation. There are other PNG compressors out there, but this is the best.
Okay.
According to the BIAG World community, and according to our tests.
Yeah, this particular test here.
This thorough test.
Exactly.
Which tests it against one other application that really doesn't even specialise in
PNG.
Has
nothing to do with that. Yeah, there's probably like five that are better. But anyway, it's got a nice name.
If you know of a better one, post it in the comments on today's show notes, which be, what episode are we at?
Four.
So, boagworld.com/season4/4. And then you can find episode 4 from there.
Yep.
All right.
Season 4, episode 4. There you go.
That's very nice and roundy. Right, shall we move on?
Let's do that.
So our developer recommendation today by massive majority is Twitter Bootstrap. So obviously, Marcus, you know all about Twitter Bootstrap, don't you?
Is massive majority a person?
My username, massive majority. That's actually quite funny. Well done.
See, this is what people listen for.
Oh, is it? And well, distracted from my question about the fact that you knew all about this already.
I do. I'm currently thinking it across the airwaves.
Ah, okay. So what Marcus is telling me psychically...
I know what Twitter is.
And you know what a bootstrap is.
I do.
But the two combined is a mystery.
Not a clue.
So this is the guys at Twitter trying to help us, dear web designer, by making things just a little bit easier for us by providing their what they describe as their sleek, intuitive, and powerful front end framework for faster and easier web development. So now you know, Marcus.
Wait a minute.
So let me explain.
What's that for?
Yeah, right. So it's kind of shortcuts. There's so much that you have to do in. When you're building a website, you have to do kind of again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're always resetting typography. You're always, you know, creating a grid system. There's, you know, common stuff that you need to do in terms of JavaScript bits and pieces. You might, you know, you want to make it responsive, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So there are various frameworks around that kind of help you kickstart the process. So You know, there are more basic ones that focus on resetting the browser and giving you kind of basic functionality, and then there are more and more sophisticated ones. So there's, for example, I use HTML boilerplate quite a lot, which gets browsers behaving across, you know, behaving consistently, and it, you know, it gives you a reset as well, and basically codes up certain things for you, etc. Then there are kind of ones that concentrate on getting you started with the grid system. So a framework that helps you with the grid structure. So there's something called Blueprint that's an example of that. Add show note links in the show notes, yeah, here or whatever I'm supposed to say.
Show notes here.
Add show notes. No, I've got to say the word link because that's what I'm going to search on. Link. Link to the link. Put
did
a link
you
in
say
the show
link
notes.
On all the other shows I've done so far. Shit.
Now I don't know what I was saying. So how am I going to search on it? Oh, disaster. Anyway, so there's all these kinds of things. Now, Twitter Bootstrap seems to kind of include loads of these kinds of things together. So it's got a responsive 12-column grid system in it. It's got dozens of components, JavaScript plugins, stuff for typography, form controls, etc., etc., etc. It's all built using utilizing Less, mm-hmm, which obviously we've talked about before on the show. Yep. And that enables you to do a lot of cool stuff that makes things easier. So it looks really, really good, and certainly a lot of people have spoken very highly of it. I haven't used it, and I won't be using it.
Ooh.
So a bit controversial here.
You like pure coding on a piece of paper first, don't you?
Coding on a piece of paper. I wrote out my code by hand.
With a pencil.
I do, yes. Yes, absolutely. I go pen now and Tippex spits out. I am moving on to a typewriter.
But that's why you're not using it, isn't it? It gets in the way of the creative process.
No, it's not. You're talking books. I do use these things to help. I'm a great fan of using stuff that helps shortcut the process. So, absolutely. Less I use HTML Bootstrap. For me, personally, and this is no criticism of Bootstrap or anybody else, it goes a little bit too far for me.
It's prescriptive.
It's a bit too prescriptive. And something that I've seen written about it is that a lot of Twitter Bootstrap sites, you can tell that they're built using Twitter Bootstrap, mm-hmm, because of the, you know, form controls look a certain way or you know, that I'm not a great fan of that personally. Also, you know, with things like, you know, it's got a 12-column grid built into it, but, you know, I don't necessarily always want a 12-column grid. Also, you have to use specific, class names, and I'm fine doing that for prototyping. Something like this would be brilliant for prototyping, but I think for more, for final production work, I would just like my code to be a little bit more cleaner. Also, even with the stuff that I use at the moment, like boilerplate and jQuery and stuff like that, you can end up feeling, hang on a minute, I don't really understand everything I've coded here.
Mm.
And I think as soon as you get into those realms of not really understanding all the code you're working with, I think it can begin to get a bit dangerous, because if something goes wrong, you then don't know how to fix it. So I'm okay for other, but I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying for me personally, I don't think it's the way that I would like to go, I don't believe. But then, you know, I was a person that at one stage said I would never use a Mac. So, you know, I wouldn't kind of hold me too much to this, but certainly I'm not entirely convinced by it. Let's put it like that. But I know a lot of people are. Let's see what some of the people have said about it. I'm just having a quick look through. It's an interesting option for a framework that seems to have lots of customizational add-ons, which is good. It's great if you need a nice clean interface that invites interaction through JavaScript and CSS. Again, it implies that it has quite a big influence on the interface, which may be all right depending on what you're doing, I guess. It even supplies a variety of options for people of varying skill levels, and a couple of base layouts, and even a responsive one for you to work off of. Again, great, you know, depending on your skill level, this might be great. What else we got? See, Travis is saying, I really like Twitter Bootstrap. I'm actually using it for wireframing and prototyping. Now, I agree with him on that. I think that's a good use of it. And he's saying it helps to him to bridge the gap between kind of Visio OmniGraph or generated PDF files and the final code. The scaffolding is really easy to use, and there are a lot of common widgets. So it feels to me like it's almost more like a replacement for Axure that we talked about last week. Insert link into the show notes. Mm-hmm. Then it is a kind of for use on a live environment.
So what? All right, so sell that to me. Why would I use this instead of Axure? Oh, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the primary one. Also, I suspect you probably can find that with Axure,
you can do more.
Well, A, you'll be able to do more with this because you're basically unlimited. Mm-hmm. B, I think you might find that you can reuse bits of it in the final site as well.
Right.
Which would be an advantage. But, you know, for me personally, not something. I would prefer to kind of have Axure, and then have... Why do I have such trouble with that name? It's really weird. And then have this kind of separate, you know, final code build rather than mixing the two. But I'd be interested to see what other people think, whether they agree with me on that. It's interesting, nobody so far that I can see in the comments have actually said that it should be used on a final website. Oh, actually, Chi has said, yes, I absolutely love it. Makes my job developing websites so much easier, whether it's a normal site, responsive site, or WordPress site. So it sounds like he uses it actually on final sites, which is fine, but personally I wouldn't. So again, I'd love to hear in the comments, just carry this conversation on in the comments, as to whether you feel like things like Twitter Bootstrap should actually be used, on a live site, or whether it's more of a prototyping tool.
Mm.
It's interesting, mine. It's just so great that people like Twitter are putting this kind of stuff out there.
What's in it for Twitter, other than we're really cool? Or is that what it's
I think already? That's it, basically. There's nothing in it. They just go, well, to be honest, they've had to build this stuff anyway for them,
sure.
I suspect is what's happening there, and they're just open sourcing it to everybody. Another example of that, I'm desperately trying to remember the name of it. I think it was ClearLess. Yes, it was. So another example of that is ClearLeft have just released something called ClearLess. And put linked in show notes here for that, and which is essentially them. They've created a load of add-ons to Less of, you know, kind of reusable code of stuff they use internally all the time, which kind of utilizes various things that Less does. So it's various mixins and that kind of stuff, which, you know, I definitely will be using that because I can look through it and I can understand everything that's there and it makes sense to me. And so, yeah, I'll make use of it. It's where I don't really understand what's happening. There are lots of other things like that. We ought to talk about Compass for SaaS at some point, a link in the show notes here, but I won't do that right now. We'll get into Compass on another occasion because that's very cool as well.
Okay.
So lots of cool developer-y stuff, all very nice and shiny. So shall we move on to something for those website owners amongst us? And so we come to a tool for those website owners amongst us. In fact, I think this is probably of interest to anybody, whether you're a design developer or a website owner, but I think there's maybe a business logic behind using this tool for those of you that are website owners. It's a tool called Social Safe, and it's actually the tool that promoted itself, you know, the owners posted on the site, and lots of people have voted it up. I don't know whether they were employees of the company or whether they were real users that are enthusiastic about it. Either way,
is it about
it being, got my attention.
Being safe when you're socialising?
It means wearing a condom at all social gatherings, even if you're not having sex. So, it's a great tool. Basically, what it does is back up your social networks. Right. So you can download and unify Facebook pages, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google Plus, all of that kind of stuff into a single local application So all of your history of everything that you've ever tweeted, Instagrammed, Facebooked or whatever else is all held locally on your machine, right? It's an AIR application, which means it's available on Mac or PC. I think even Linux has AIR. I'm not quite sure. I might have just made that up. Who cares about Linux anymore? Now I'm going to get in trouble. Right. This is the first of the apps this week that actually costs some money, however.
Ooh.
Disastrous.
Oh, yeah, so it does.
So basically, it kind of varies between, depending on how big your organization is, how many Facebook pages and profiles and all that kind of stuff you've got. The most basic version, one profile, Facebook or Twitter, is $3.99 a year. Mm-hmm. Hardly going to break the bank. The most expensive option, which is 10 Enterprise Facebook pages version. And 10 profiles, is $13.99 a year. So it's not one that's going to cost you too much. That's certainly true. I think that's a really good price for it. So that is SocialSafe. Now, my problem is, and I put this to all the people that said how great it is why, right? For me, you see, social networks are a transitory thing, right? When I update Twitter, it's not like writing a blog post that I've spent hours crafting. You know, I've just kind of whacked it up there. I don't care. It comes and it goes. The moment has passed and all is good with the world again. What, you look like you're about to say something.
Yes.
Go on then.
The fact that anyone is pointing to your well-crafted blog post makes it valuable as a part of someone's...
I have no idea what you're talking about. Try again so I understand you. Speaking intelligent English.
Yeah, the value in somebody's Twitter feed, for example, would be the different links that they're pointing to.
But why would I want to... Well, my point is...
Why would you want to save it?
Yeah, why do I want to save it for prosperity was the question I had.
It depends... Because some people's would be of value. You would be interested in the future to look back and see what...
Yeah, but I'm not Barack Obama.
What Obama tweeted.
Yeah.
I don't know where the line to draw is on that. And also, maybe to your great-grandson, your Twitter feed of 2012 might be something of interest to them.
Possibly. I mean, it's interesting because... I think
there is value in it.
Yeah.
It's hard to put my finger on why.
Well, actually, the community did really well. Because although I said why, I actually do this.
Yeah.
I use IFTTTTTTT that we talked about last week. Link in the show notes here. And then that backs up everything to Evernote for me.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't really know, or I didn't know why I did it, what the point was, right? I just did it because it was easy to do, and so I did it anyway. But the community said a couple of things. From a personal point of view, me, Paul Boag, or you, Marcus Lennington.
Yeah, it's part of you.
Okay, that wasn't what I was going to say.
I'll shut up.
I think the value to us is where you go, I saw that link at some point. I tweeted about that. And now you can search it because
I'm being a bit deeper and hippier about it.
You're being deeper and hippier, and I don't give a shit about that. But
that's true.
Be able to refer back to all this stuff because Twitter search and Facebook search only go back so far. This has it all in one place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Really neat and tidy. Love it, love it, love it.
Just make a comment on that.
Yes. Is it going to be a hippie comment? Because if it is, I don't care.
No, a comment on that point.
On that point, right.
I'm kind of the feeling. I haven't been doing that, even though I've probably been tweeting for 5 years. It still feels like a year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like I've got loads of content to look back and search on.
Yeah.
But that's wrong. I should be thinking of this as same as email.
Yes.
I've got every email I've ever written.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same reason. But so it can be searched on later.
I mean, it is also, it's quite nice as well. There was another application that I used for a while called Memento. Do you remember we were talking about Memento? Link in the show notes here.
yes, I do.
Which was a great app because That basically pulled it all in and put it on a calendar, the same as this does. But their angle on it was where you can look back and it's like an automatic diary with no effort put into it. And I can understand it from that point as well. You know, what was I doing this time last year? And you can look in, you know, in this and you can instantly see. So it is really good for that. I can understand that. The other thing that came out of the community and what people were posting online about it when I pushed over this is from a business point of view, there is actually a kind of obligation to do this. You're required to keep, you know, email, for example, for X amount of time after it's been sent, etc. And I think, you know, a lot of companies are now getting into the habit of taking the same attitude with social media. For example, you know, what if somebody said, oh, you tweeted this and, you know, and that was incorrect and I'm taking you to court over it. You need a record of all those tweets and social media and that kind of stuff. So there is a business driver here as well.
I still prefer my hippie legacy stuff.
Yeah, well, exactly. You'd get on well with Jeremy Keith. He keeps going on about legacy and,
it's true.
And keeping stuff for the future. Are you one of those hoarders? Do you never throw anything out for the same reason?
I'm actually a little bit guilty of that. I try not. It depends. I think what stuff you've written, I think, applies. That's kind of legacy. You should keep it. You should store it and nurture it. Well, not nurture it, but look after it anyway. When I moved into my house in 1989, we had a really horrible toilet seat in one of the loos. It was like kind of a plastic maroon coloured thing.
And right.
It was like, take that off. Hideous. I replaced it with another one that we liked. I put the plastic one in the box that the new one came in and put it in the loft. And discovered it 13 years later when we moved. And I went out and stamped on it and hit it with things and told myself off
for
being such an idiot.
Good for you.
So I try not to hoard. But I think your words, your thoughts in particular, are worth hoarding.
I mean, the thing that I like is, I mean, my system of backing up to Evernote works perfectly well and does it. But what I do like this is the fact that you've got this kind of calendar and you can pop back in time to any particular date and you can look at what you were doing that day. You can instantly find anything with this really kind of good search facility rather than the online search facilities that are so shit, really.
Well, limited, so yeah.
It is really good. I mean, I guess the danger of an application like this is that it goes away, you know, that they stop supporting it. But there are good sides to that. They've kind of addressed that. If it does go away, you've still got your whole thing locally on the app that's, you know, on your machine.
Yes, it did say local.
Yeah, and also you can export everything in CSV format. So I noticed somebody within the comments was saying something along the lines of that they actually use that to create a graph of their follower count over time of people, you know, whether more or less people are following them over time. And they can even, then they'll be able to see, you know, well, okay, my tweets went a bit too personal there and my stuff dropped off or whatever. So there's analytics you can do on this as well. So, okay, yes. So I kind of, after an initial hesitation, this does make sense to me as an app. And I think at that price, why the hell not, really? I mean, you know, $13 a year for the whole works.
I won't buy it, even though I approve of it.
I approve of this product, but I'm not using it.
I think saving everyone's stuff should be an obligation of government. There you go. I make this stuff up as I go along.
Yeah. So hang on a minute. So basically, you've just been lecturing about how important it is for legacy and all that bollocks, and then you're not doing it.
No.
Oh, the complex person is Marcus. Yeah. But it's not lazy just to download an application and run it. Now, that's interesting. I imagine then you're going to have... I wonder how that works, right?
What?
If you don't open the application, is it still backing up? Or do you need the application open to back up? That's an interesting thought. Because otherwise you're going to have the app open because every 3,000 tweets or whatever it is.
But this is all backed up in the cloud, yeah? And your local version is just a local copy kind of thing.
So I don't know.
If you move laptops, for example, which we all do quite regularly, you need to just back up from the cloud again, surely.
I'm guessing so. It doesn't actually... I can't see that.
You don't want to have to carry all your files into a...
You know, like
a
having
hard
a big,
drive or something.
Yeah,
like
a big Outlook file that you move from computer to computer. Don't know. Oh, FAQs. Let's have a look at the FAQs. Nothing like researching into things before you start.
Yes.
It doesn't answer that as an FAQ question. Not that I can see.
Well, that's a bit poor.
Choosing FAQs. Choosing. Ah, here we go. Choosing safe.
Sorry, I was supposed to be padding at the moment. Like, yeah. Pad.
Oh, there's a free version.
Ooh. It's probably not time limited, isn't it?
Free only version saves has random some stuff. Great basic features for backing up and viewing your Facebook account. Do we want to know the difference? That's worth clicking through to, isn't
certainly
it?
Certainly is. They'll love us for this, won't they? We found the free version.
The paid version gives you more exciting features, including additional social networks. Ah, so the basic version only does Facebook. Oh, that's crap.
That's not.
It is for me.
Well, it is for me as well, but it's not a crap thing.
No, it wasn't a criticism. It's free, you know.
Yeah. Paul's reading, everyone, and now he's making sort of clip-clop noise, horse noise.
It's actually really distracting, you padding while I'm trying to read. Can you be quiet, please?
No, I can't. We've got Blake's starting to do the buildings next door to us. There's diggers and stuff out there. But I can't.
I can't find the answer to the question, so I don't know whether it does it locally or in the
Maybe someone could tell us.
Yes, post the answer, because I know that the people that made the app are listening to the podcast. So post the answer in the forum thingy. The comments on this show notes. Oh, God, this is such a shit show. Right, so we now come, do we not, to our final application of the day. So we said that we would finish each show by looking at a mobile application that either is kind of good as web designers, you know, it's useful to us as web designers, or alternatively it's got something in it that we can learn from,
or alternatively it's just really good.
If it's really good, then we can
learn. But really good would be the ECB cricket app, for example, which is really good.
I'm sure it is, but
and people might be interested in it.
I don't think they would.
No,
would they? Why would they?
Because it's good.
Yeah, why is it a good app then? Go on. Other than it's got cricket stuff in it.
It's because it does that wonderful thing of showing you the most important information in a really big and highlighted way, and you can delve down into more detail if you want it. That's okay. Why it's good.
Right, fair enough. Thanks for that wise words ECB of wisdom cricket that you have shared with us today.
Come on then. What is it that's going to make me more exciting than that?
Well, actually, it's a follow-on from our conversation about legacy and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, right, I am actually quite interested in this.
It's an application called Day One. Have you come across Day One?
No.
Right. So Day One is available for the Mac, the iPhone, the iPad. I like to think of it as, it's a journaling app, right, for writing a diary.
Okay. I'm never going to do that.
Exactly. That was exactly my response to it. But I've kind of...
A certain amount of vanity is required for a diary, I think.
Exactly. But I've kind of... Well, no, it's nice to look back on. It's all that you were saying earlier about looking back on stuff.
No, but it's just the action of, well, now I'm going to write my diary.
Yes. I agree with that. Somewhere along the line, they got me to rethink it. I don't know whether it was this app that got me to rethink it, or somewhere I've rethought the idea of diary. I know, it goes back to Memento again, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because Memento created me a diary with no effort on my part, right?
Yep.
But for whatever reason, I won't go into that now, but I stopped using Memento. And it just wasn't working, right? And so I was kind of looking around for something similar, and there wasn't anything, but I came across Day One. And I thought, no, I'm never going to write a diary. Not going to happen. I always start them on holidays and then never finish them, you know, and just go, bleh. But what I've started doing with Day One is I've started treating it like a private Twitter. Right?
Yeah.
So I tweet to it.
They're all bastards.
Yeah. All the things that I wouldn't say on Twitter. You know, the piles are painful again today. That kind of thing.
But it's okay to do it on the podcast to hundreds of thousands of people.
If only hundreds of thousands listened. But you get the idea that essentially it pops up every now and again, just asking me to say whatever I'm doing. And I just put in whatever I'm currently doing. I tweet through stuff actually that's too inane almost to put on. You know, nobody cares that you know.
Toast this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But maybe I want to say that in my diary. So I kind of been using it like that. But that's not really why I'm mentioning it on the show, because we're not a kind of just a random cool app show.
But I thought we were on this one.
Well, okay, we can be if you want to. But let me...
Not every time. Ooh, ouch. Ooh, Paul's falling off his chair.
Okay, fair enough. It is a really cool app, and I do absolutely love it. But half the reason I absolutely love it is because it is beautifully and carefully thought through. Right. They've added a whole load of extra features to it that make it for me. So, for example, you can put photographs in there. You can geotag your location. It'll automatically look up the weather for you and all these kinds of cool stuff. It's not the functionality that I care about.
It just looks gorgeous.
It's the implementation. Not even just... It does look gorgeous. It's a beautiful app that's really well designed. It's got a gorgeous icon that, you know, I buy apps just on the basis of their icons half the time. But it's the details of the design. And it's not something you can really describe very well on a podcast. But things like... if you... You know when you can pull down a document? Like when you reach the end of scrolling, right?
Yes.
And it kind of goes a bit further, doesn't it, on the iPhone? Because you've got this bouncy thing. Well, things like they've bothered to put in their logo, so you reveal the logo as you pull down.
Nice.
With the imagery, when you pull down on an image, it's slightly cropped your image, so it expands out and you can see more of your image. Details like that. Detail, the buttons are beautiful. The typography is beautiful. In my view, it just exemplifies a beautifully designed app that where the interface doesn't get in the way. The interface is really, really understated, but it's so beautifully done that it amazes me. But, and here's the thing that really sells this app for me, its use of sound. Sound for a long time has been a big thing with me. I'm always like, why don't we have more, you know, audio feedback on the web? I'm a huge fan of audio feedback. And I know people go, oh, it's distracting and what if you're in a work environment? Yeah. That's
brilliant.
Exactly.
Genius.
And the whoosh.
This is the whoosh. But it is software, but it's also, I suppose it's hardware as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think.
I'm a huge fan of that.
If
as well.
It's done well, is just beautiful. You know, the whoosh when you send an email, the click on and off, all of those kinds of things. And day one just have nailed it perfectly. So as you one of the things you can do is if you kind of pull down, you can flip to the previous or next item. You can just keep scrolling basically from one to the other, and you get this like little click as you move from one to the other that's so satisfying. But here's the really cool thing about it: you don't get exactly the same click every time.
The
pitch of it slightly changes, so it's got that almost organic feel to it. You know, when you close a door, it doesn't always sound identical every time, does it? And they've done that, and it's just so well thought through.
I'm impressed.
You ought to get this app.
I'm not spending $2.99.
Oh, you tight arse.
I won't use it.
No. I'll let you ever play with it on mine, but it's so satisfying. The sounds on it are so satisfying. And I recognise that it annoys some people, but you can turn the sounds off. They have the ability to disable it. But I think it's an example of sound being used really well on the website, and I think there should be more of it. And I think Marcus should be able to make a living out of making clicky noises. Would you really want to do that? Like?
Definitely.
Really?
That's
all
fantastic.
Those little whooshes and clicks and
yeah.
thuds.
I mean, how? Yeah, I mean,
you need to become a Foley artist for software applications. That's what they call them, isn't it? Foley? Is it Foley artist? They do sound effects. I think it is.
No idea. Never heard that before. Day one journal. No, it's too
Foley nice. Artist.
Why can't they do a?
I'm asking my computer to look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right. Foley artists.
Okay.
Look to recreate the realistic ambient sounds that a film portrays.
Yeah, I know. Like the kind of rustly bags.
And the clippity clop with two.
You were doing that earlier without knowing it.
Oh, yeah. I was.
Yeah, it's interactive audio design, I believe it's called.
Yes.
And I've looked into it in the past, and there are a few people that do it and do it very well. Very well. The people that work at Apple do it really well, that's damn sure.
Yeah.
It's difficult, but very satisfying.
It's to get that line, isn't it, between... it's reassuring, because that's what a noise should do. It should reassure that
you've done the right thing
without it being annoying.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Unless you choose to make it annoying, like my friends did when they got hold of my phone the other night.
What did they do?
Well, I woke up in the middle of the night to choo-choo noises every time an email came in. And considering we've currently got a bit of a fault on our website, I shouldn't say things like that. No, it'll be fixed by then, where...
Emails coming in every five seconds.
I've got like this train running by me in the middle of the night. Odd noises happening and things. Juvenile. Joy. That's what it is.
It's juvenile but fun.
Yes.
So there you go. So check out day one. It's worth paying the $2.99 to see how good design is done.
I'll do it for that reason. But which one should I get? This one or that one?
Oh, it's the iPhone one that's got the cool sound effects on.
Right, okay.
So get the iPhone
one. But I'd probably be much more likely to use the Mac one.
Well, buy both.
I'm sounding like Chris.
I mean whether you use it or not is irrelevant. It's not relevant. I find it a great app, but it's that beautiful examples of design, and that's what I love about iPhone design. It's the devil's in the detail. If we took the same attention on the web, well, I think our guys are getting really good at doing that, but I look at so many websites and they don't have that level of attention to detail that some of the iPhone apps have. I mean, some iPhone apps are terrible, but this one really stood out for me. So there you go. That's wraps it up for this week's show. Four great apps for you to go out and have a play with. Hope you enjoy them. Keep the feedback coming. More apps, please. We'll more to include on the show. We've got to go all the way to Christmas, and at four apps a show, that's a lot of apps, people. So go along to bioguard.com/apps and add your suggestions to the ever-growing list. It would be much appreciated. Also, if you want to feedback on any of the apps that we've talked about today or any of the issues we've raised, then go along to bioguard.com/season/4 and select at the bottom of the page episode 4.
Four, yes.
Marcus, jokey time.
In the best of the jokes.
Talking of apps.
Yeah, here we go. Two 90-year-old men.
Yeah.
90-year-old men.
Yeah.
Mike and Joe.
So is 90 important?
Yeah. Have been friends all their lives. When it's clear that Joe is dying, Mike visits him every day. One day, Mike says, "Joe, we both love football all our lives, and we played Sunday football together for so many years. Please do me one favour. When you get to heaven, somehow, you must let me know if there's football up there." Joe looks up at Mike from his deathbed. "Mike, you've been my friend for so many years. If it's at all possible, I'll certainly do this favour for you." Shortly after that, Joe passes on.
Oh,
very sad.
Very sad. I'm feeling quite emotional.
Are you really? At midnight, a couple of nights later, Mike is awakened from a sound sleep by a blinding flash of white light and a voice calling out to him, "Mike, Mike." "Who is it?" asked Mike, sitting up suddenly. "Who is it?" "Mike, it's me, Joe." "You're not Joe. Joe just died." "I'm telling you, it's me, Joe," insists the voice. "Joe, where are you?" "In heaven," replies Joe. "I have some really good news and a little bad news." "Tell me the good news first," says Mike. "The good news," Joe says, "is that there is a football team in heaven. Better still, all our old friends who died before us are here too. Better than that, we're all young again. Even better still, it's always springtime and it never rains or snows. And best of all, we can play football all we want and we never get tired." "That's fantastic," says Mike. "That's beyond my wildest dreams. So what's the bad news?" "You're playing centre forward next Tuesday."
I like that one. That one got me. I was thinking, where's this one going to go? Is it going to be some joke about Manchester United being shit or something like that? But no, that was a good ending, and I didn't even need to appreciate football.
Exactly. It could have been anything, couldn't it? It could have been tennis.
But so, you know, if I'm being pedantic about it,
what
is that bad news then? The guy was going from being 90 with arthritis and all that kind of stuff to being young again and playing football. Is that really bad news?
It's a joke, Paul.
Okay, am I thinking about it too much?
I think you are.
Okay. All right, well, on that note, we'll leave it. Talk to you again next week. Can't wait for our next set of apps. Bye.